lost my testimony. And what Paul really does there, talking to Titus, is he really gives all of our testimonies in general. Titus 3:3-8 says that we too were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, hating others and being hated by others. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. Not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy, he saved us through the washing and renewal of the Holy Spirit that he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, that having now been justified by faith, we might become heirs to the hope of eternal life. These things are good and profitable for all men. That's Titus 3:3-8. And that's your story and that's my story. There's a lot of things that drive us to Jesus. There's a lot of needs that we have that reveal that desperation for Jesus. They all look a little different. We all break the Ten Commandments. Some of us do it quietly. Some of us do it loudly. I was one of those that did it, turned up to 11. And most of you know my story, and we're not here to hear it, but I came to Jesus when I was just strung out on meth on the streets. I got picked up for some burglaries. I went to juvenile hall. They gave me a Bible and a deck of cards. And I had 23 hours in my cell every single day to do nothing but play cards and read the Bible. God trapped me. It was an ambush, right? Like, he literally removed me off the streets so that I couldn't go get a bag, so that I couldn't go to the dope dealer's house. I had to detox. I had to clear my mind. And then he trapped me in that room with him in his word. And I've never been the same since, right? And yet my story is that of what Paul tells Titus. I was just a sinner in desperate need of something greater than myself, in desperate need of the righteousness which I couldn't provide for myself. And when it comes to, there's a lot of various ministries in the church that specialize with different cultures and different needs. And some of them are very much in the trenches. And today we have the opportunity to have a group of people here whose ministry is very much in the trenches. Drug addiction is a big deal. But we know that it's only a symptom of our problem, which is that we're always going to places other than God for fulfillment and satisfaction. And none of them can fulfill and none of them can satisfy like God does. And so we're going to get to hear some killer stories today, and I hope that you're blessed. I've known people that have come out of this program, and I've been in this type of ministry surrounding in one form or another since I've been a Christian. And the success rate that Teen Challenge has compared to other groups is amazing. You can actually see the fingerprint of God there. Doesn't mean that people don't come out struggling, but because of the way it's designed, the way it's full immersion when you come in, where it's not just about getting off drugs, but then it's about making Jesus Christ the drug of your life and running fully and completely to him. A lot of these guys come out not only free from dope, but just complete on fire lovers of Jesus Christ. And so this is a ministry that's here in Bend, and they're going to share with us today. And I just pray about how God might have you be involved either closely or from a distance with this ministry, because they're in the trenches and they're doing some real stuff. The Lord is really using this ministry. So I want to bring Sean up here right now, wherever he is. You guys all look the same, man. I just see a sea of... A sea of good-looking young men. That's it.
Thank you, Pastor. Yeah, as he said, we're with Teen Challenge. Usually no one Teen Challenge shows up at your church because we just take up a huge section, probably right in the middle front. Usually that's how we do it. So, as he said, my name is Sean. I work for Teen Challenge as the outreach coordinator. I actually went through the program myself 2 years ago. I did a year-long internship program, which we offer after the studentship. It's just another year of discipleship training, leadership training, just growing closer with God and being a servant, giving back to the guys in the house and giving back to the house that has served you. So I had a prayer request. The time ran out, and now I got the mic, so I kind of want to share it. This morning, my mom called me, and my grandmother is on her deathbed. She hasn't eaten for 4 days and weighs like 60-something pounds and is going to be passing away in a few hours. So just if that's on any of you guys' heart, to throw up some prayers for her. Her name's Betty. just as he makes this transition. That would be awesome and very much appreciated. So if I seem a little distracted today, I'm sorry. Apologize for that. But anyways, Teen Challenge is a 12-month discipleship program, completely Christ-centered. That's our whole goal. Our goal that we look for men that graduate the program is that they just display Christ-like behaviors and patterns and characteristics and all that stuff. It's 12 months. Guys come in. We have women's centers too. Ours, obviously, you see all these beautiful men, is just a men's center. The closest women's center is in Eugene. It's called Hannah's House. They come in. It's a drug and alcohol recovery program. They come in with all their baggage, all their stuff going on, their full-blown addictions, and they dedicate a year of their life to this program. And it's not an easy program. For one, it's 12 months long, which is a long time to dedicate, especially when you've been running and gunning and living the lifestyle that we have, and it's tough. So today is going to kind of look like I'm going to have two guys come up. They're going to spill their guts to you, share their stories, kind of let you know where they were at and what God has done for them now, what their future holds for them. I'm going to play some videos and stuff. It's going to be a good time. I just want to say thank you. We've never been to this church before. We're just starting to develop a relationship with you guys. We've been sending guys out here to work, I think, once, maybe twice. And it's just awesome to build new connections with new churches, to be able to share with this part of the body what our part of the body is doing, and just come together in unity in Christ and just ultimately He be glorified. And so just thank you for that. Thank you, pastors, and thank you, Jordan. I threw him a curveball this morning with the video, and he handled it like a pro, so thank you for that. With that being said, I'm going to turn it over to the superstars. First up, I think we're going with Brett, right? Yeah, Brett's going to share his story for us, so thank you.
Well, I think I'm going to start off by just praying for Sean and his family real quick. So, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this time that you've given us just to hear what you've done in our lives, Lord. I just give you all the praise for what you've done in our lives, Lord, and just continue using us in any way that you see fit. I just want to lift up Sean and his family, Lord. I just pray that you just give them peace right now and just encourage them, Lord, and just be with them, Lord. So we just thank you for what you're going to do with this outcome. We say these things in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen. My name is Brett. I'm 26 years old. I grew up in Orange County, California. I grew up in a really good home, had good parents and stuff who are in the crowd today, so thank you guys for coming. But, yeah, I grew up in a good home. I guess you would call my home something that, well, I guess it was a God-fearing home. They raised me in the ways that I should go, and they taught me what was good and bad and stuff, but I had a rebellious spirit. So when I got into high school, I decided to start partying and getting into drugs and alcohol and those different types of things, and not thinking about the consequences. Before I knew it, I was in a full-blown heroin addiction, and I ended up going to Teen Challenge for the first time about 2 years ago, or no, it was more like 4 years ago, and I did a student program there, and then I did an internship there. Then the Lord wanted me to worked there as a staff member, but I started making compromises in my life, and I stopped getting in my word on a daily basis. I stopped going to church on a weekly basis, and before you know it, I was starting to make compromises. I was going to the bar. I was hanging out with old friends that I shouldn't have hung out with, and before you know it, I was full-blown back into my heroin addiction, and I was about 2 years ago, and I've been back in the program for about 2 months now. But there are things that I had walked through up there that, because I went up to Portland after I relapsed and stuff and was serving the darkness, but now I'm ready to be serving the light and stuff. But I overdosed a couple times up there, and, you know, I know that the Lord had his hand on my life. It was on Thanksgiving Day. I called my family, which wasn't a very often thing while I was living in my addiction. And my mom's like, you know, we all had a church prayer group for you and stuff. So they all prayed over me. And as soon as she told me that over the phone, I knew that I was going to get arrested. And 2 weeks later, 2 weeks later, I ended up getting arrested, and I was kind of at a place where I was done. I knew that I needed something different for my life. I knew that I was either going to go to prison or I was going to die. Like I said, I'd already overdosed 3 times in this last 2 years, and I cried out to the Lord in my cell, and like the pastor was saying, we have a lot of time to spend with the Lord when you're in jail. So I cried out to the Lord, and just I was like, Lord, if you want me to do something different with my life, let me know now. And I ended up surrendering and humbling myself and realizing that I needed to go back to Teen Challenge to rekindle my relationship with the Lord. I wanted to read this scripture real quick. It was Isaiah 43, and this is just kind of how I felt before I came back to Teen Challenge. And it says, "But now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you. O Israel, the one who formed you, says, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you go through deep waters, I'll be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through fires of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." And, you know, even though I was walking in the darkness, I had oppression all around me and stuff, the Lord never gave up on me. He called me out. He told me what he wanted me to do. And that just shows me how much the Lord our God loves us and stuff. And I'm just thankful for what he's doing in my life. I feel like he wanted me to come back here so I could work for the Ministry of Teen Challenge again. So I'm just going to be walking out this year and then hopefully rejoining the Ministry of Teen Challenge and working for them. And, you know, the Lord's doing restoration between me and my family. I feel like the relationships between us have been closer than ever before. So I'm really grateful for that. And, you know, I just want to give all the glory to God and what he's been doing in my life. So I guess I'll just end it on that and say thank you guys for coming and allowing me to share my testimony with you guys.
Thank you, Brett. I know it's very difficult to come to a new place you've never been to and share, you know, your life story with all these people. But luckily, we're all believers, and that makes it a lot easier to, you know, see the future and the positive outcome of it. I've actually known Brett's parents longer than I've known Brett, and Brett was definitely going through some very difficult times. He didn't get into too many of the nitty-gritty details in his story, but just trust me when I say he was going very hard in his addiction. And I had, like I said, had met Richard and Gail. That's his parents. They're here in the crowd. Before I had met Brett, and they have alumni over to their house weekly for dinner, just kind of like a fellowship, a little trust circle where you can share stuff where you're struggling, and we do prayer requests, and Brett calls himself a victim of a praying mother, and that is definitely the truth. Richard and Gail have probably prayed more than I can even imagine for Brett, and to see where he's at now, and just where his heart's at. You know, when you look at someone and you can just tell that they're walking in humility, and it's just evident in everything that they do. And that's Brett right now. Just every time I have conversations with him, I can just see that he is walking in humility and he's ready for the change. And he was completely broken and has now surrendered to Christ. And it's amazing, man, to see. So thank you. Next up, we're going to have Ben come share his testimony. He's actually, I believe, the next one graduating. Is that correct? Yeah, next, what is this, March? You graduate this month? Next month. Oh, yeah. He might tell you about that. He got an extra month. He's a bad boy. but anyways, I'll let him share that. So, Ben, come on up here.
Well, thank you, Sean. I'm going to admit I am a little nervous. I'm not used to speaking in front of crowds. So if I choke up, I apologize. So my name's Ben. I'm from Denver, Colorado. I'm 28 years old. The product of an Air Force father and a Korean mother. Kind of paved the way for my story there of feeling lost and not knowing who I really was. My dad met my mom in Korea in 84, 85, had my older sister, and then I came along 3 years later. So growing up, my dad being in the Air Force, just always gone. Didn't really know who he was till I was like maybe 13. So my mom raised my sister and I mostly. She did her best, you know, grew up with good morals. She's a very devout Christian, always in the Word. As long as I can remember, my mom has always been up before the sun was up praying in Korean, so I didn't really know what was going on for the longest time. But, you know, and like I said, she did her best with us, but in a culture that she was completely unknown to, really just let her kids have free rein on what we were going to do with ourselves, what we enjoyed, kind of how we grew up. So I grew up kind of a rebel, you know. I decided that I'd like to make bad decisions at a really young age. I moved around a lot with my family, being that my dad was in the Air Force, lived overseas in a couple of different places. And then when we settled in Colorado, in Denver. And I was in the fourth grade when that had happened. And I had a troublesome childhood, fighting, just angry. A lot of rage that came from, that stemmed from my father. My dad was a very abusive dad. He wasn't a very happy man growing up, and not knowing him very well, and then him coming around, and there was a lot of whoopings I caught. So that just kind of really built the core of who I was. So there was a lot of rage and anger in me coming up, and you know, that that kind of opened up doors for me to just not care anymore, to just give up on most everything that you know, that most people would have ambition for and would want to to strive for. I figured if I wasn't good at it at first, I'd just give up on it. So going into high school is when I met a few bad friends, just started drinking, partying, smoking, and doing that, you know, the normal high school thing that kids really just find themselves doing, is just having fun. And that just paved the way for my identity. As soon as I started smoking pot, that was who I thought I was. I started selling weed in high school. I started selling drugs. It was just who I was. That's who I built my identity into, was, you know, I was known as Big Ben. If you needed a bag, you could call him. And I thought that was great. That was where I found popularity. That's where I found, you know, comfort. That's where I found, you know, lies. Total and outright lies of who I was. So I progressed, and it got worse and worse and worse. You know, one thing I prided myself on, just as I got kicked out of high school the last time, was that there wasn't a drug you could come up with that I hadn't tried. That was something that I prided myself on, that I've done everything, and I've done it to the fullest extent. I've pushed myself to the brink, just so that I could act like I was better than you or better than somebody else. And, again, I fed into those lies. I grasped a hold of those, and I tried to hold on. But as we all know, lies are slippery. We all fall. So I met a girl when I was maybe 21, 22. First girl I ever really fell in love with. Started to build a life with this girl. And then, you know, the relationship just kind of fell off, and it broke me. And in that brokenness, I found the only thing that really I could find comfort in, and that was heroin. And with that heroin, man, it just cut the world out. Nothing mattered. Family didn't matter. Friends didn't matter. Life didn't matter. Nothing mattered. I wanted to die. It just felt right, you know. Several suicide attempts, just loss of drive, loss of love, loss of everything. I cared nothing about myself or anybody else around me for the longest time. I ended up taking into a rehab, a 30-day rehab, about 2 years ago, back home in Colorado. Ended up being a daycare for 30 days. It gave me queen-size beds, told me I was a victim, just comforted me, which was a great thing and all. It was fun, I guess. I'll never forget it. But as soon as I got out of that rehab, I took control of my life again and said, you know what, I'm good. I got the time. I'm going to do what I want. I stayed sober for a little while, you know, attended meetings and so on for a while, and then inevitably started compromising and giving up on everything again. Fell right back into the heroin. Did that for maybe a year and a half, until about a year ago, I found myself homeless. Family told me to leave. They wanted nothing to do with me. Friends kicked me out. Girlfriends left me. Just lost everything. And I was living in the back of my 4Runner. Dropped the seats of my 2002 4Runner, and I was living at Walmart, hanging out with this dude, Bob. We were sitting in the parking lot. It was maybe 2 o'clock in the morning. And I'm watching this guy just getting hammered, and me, I'm high. And I'm sitting there wondering on a lawn chair, how did I get here? What did I do? You know, I came from a fairly good family. I never wanted for anything. I was never hungry. I always had clothes, always had shoes, always had cool toys growing up. My parents took care of me. They gave me what I wanted. How did I end up here? And that's when I really found myself just lost and begging God to do something. And what I was asking for, I was begging God to kill me, to take my life. I'm done. I give up. I'm so tired. I can't do it anymore. And God is faithful, and he answers prayers. Just he didn't give me the answer I wanted. He told me no. So he told me to keep trying, to keep going. Inevitably, I sold my home, which was my car, to hop on a bus and come to Bend, Oregon. And I'd never heard of Bend, Oregon before. I'd never heard of Central Oregon. I've heard of Eugene. I've heard of Portland. But never Central Oregon. And in looking for something, God just called me here. He said, I could hear it as loud as day that there is something more. Just take the leap of faith. And that's all it was just taking a leap of faith, something that I was so scared of doing. And in doing so, I've struggled. Like Sean was saying, I am on my 11th month. I should be graduating at the end of this month here, at the end of March. But luckily, God has graced me with an extra month to learn something that I haven't learned yet. In my rebellion, in my pride, unable to really, truly surrender myself. God gave me an extra chance. Said, hey, man, you need to stick around for a little bit longer. And I'm so grateful for it because I'm surrounded by people who love me, people who care about me. I can say honestly today that I care about myself. I care where I'm going to go. There's a future laid out for me, and that's not by me. That's by God only. That's by Jesus Christ saving me. And I'm so grateful for it. Life today has light. It has something that I've never seen before, and I am so excited to go and step out into it and see where it's going to take me. So, hey, thanks, guys, for the time. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Ben. That was very good. It's his first time. He's all nervous. Like, oh, jeez. No, I thought you killed it, bro. You did very well. As he was talking, I was just thinking, like, man, to hear there's 17, maybe, oh, we got some alumni here too. So there's like 20 walking testimonies of overcome drug addiction by the strength and power of Christ. Like, these guys were so low, including myself, and it's only the strength of God that has pulled us out of those addictions. And he's doing such cool things over at the house. Like, sometimes it's hard to see it when I'm right in it. But sometimes coming to these services, I kind of get to, like, see it from a different view or something. And we just got this awesome triplex converted into a one house. All these dudes cram in there, love on each other for a year, learn about God and overcome their addictions. And we go on tons of fun outings and stuff. And it's just amazing to see this place, this ministry that God has established over there in Bend, and just given so many opportunities to so many men throughout the years to overcome their addiction. And it's such a blessing to be able to come here and share that with you. I know you guys look at these guys now and just see normal-looking, beautiful men, but I can assure you when they first came in and they were in their addiction, they did not look this good, okay? I promise, especially not Cruz or John in their suits. They weren't wearing those when they were deep in their addictions. Drugs take or alcohol take a very big physical toll on your body. I know for drugs, it's $100, $200+ a day habit, and that's a lot of drugs, and you ingest that into your system, and you suffer the consequences. Massive weight loss, walking around looking like a zombie, but you think that you look normal, of course. But we got this video that's going to kind of put a better perspective on, there's some of these guys and then some who have graduated recently from the program. It's a before and after video to just give you a better perspective of what these guys look like before and what they look like now. So.
Seems like all I could see was the struggle. Haunted, a ghost that lived in my past. Bound up in shackles of all my failures. Wondering how long is this gonna last? Then you look at this prisoner and say to me, son, stop fighting a fight, it's already been won. And I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains.
Every time I watch that video, I just think celebration. It's like it just always brings a smile to my face to see. You can see it in their eyes. They're just like the before pictures. I mean, I'm in there too. It's just like you're just dead. And then you come in here, you learn about God, you dig into his word, and you get life. And it's amazing. So I hope that puts kind of a perspective on what some of these guys look like. We always say when the guys come in, they're like a sucked up Safeway chicken. That's what our program coordinator calls us. It's true, though. I mean, when I first last got arrested, like before I have had my time sober, I weighed 135 pounds, and now I weigh 185. And I'm not even like a big guy. I'm just like your normal average Joe. So if you can imagine 50 pounds somehow off of me, it's just like, ugh, gross, you know? And, yeah, that's the physical toll that drugs take on your body. But praise God that we serve a God who is all about redeeming lives, saving lives, changing lives, and he's given us this opportunity to do just that over at the center. The next video I'm going to show is a student sponsorship video. It's just it's a really practical way for you guys to get connected with the men at the center directly, a way for you to pray for them, just help them out, you know, send them letters of encouragement and stuff. So I'll let the video do the explaining for me.
Pacific Northwest Adult and Teen Challenge is a faith-based drug and alcohol recovery program with the power to change lives.
When I was a teenager, I was rebellious and started using drugs experimentally, which ultimately led to a 13-year addiction to opiates. After countless tries to quit on my own and get my life back, I decided to enroll myself into Adult and Teen Challenge in Portland. I've learned that God forgives us no matter what. He has amazing grace, and ultimately he forgives you for everything. I now have high hopes for my future, I have my life back, and a great career opportunity ahead of me.
Graduating from Adult and Teen Challenge is not an easy accomplishment. This is a life-changing discipleship program. Our students are faced with spiritual battles on a daily basis, and every encouragement makes a difference. We want to invite you to be a part of their success. We want to invite you to become a student sponsor. When you sponsor a student at Adult and Teen Challenge, you're partnering with an individual who is becoming a new creation. When you sign up, we will assign you to one of our students and send you a photo and profile of the student that you will be sponsoring. Every few months, you will receive an update about your student's progress so you can continue to pray for them and see that beyond your financial support, you are helping to change their life. You'll have opportunities to meet and encourage your student at Adult and Teen Challenge events. And when your student completes the program, you will receive a personal invitation to attend and celebrate at their completion ceremony. Most of all, we urge you to write and encourage your student. Your letters will remind them that someone cares and that their community supports them. Your prayers will help move the mountains in their path and help them stay focused on their journey towards freedom. Many students say that the letters and notes they received gave them hope and encouragement at just the right time.
The first time I received a card from my sponsor was on a day that I was ready to give up and quit the program. Reading that card gave me the encouragement I needed to stay in the program and keep going. Knowing that people were out there praying for me besides just my family gave me the encouragement to press on.
The cost to provide housing, counseling, and other recovery services to a student in our program is over $2,500 each month. Most students could never afford to pay that out of pocket. So our ministry is supported by gifts from friends and family, our vocational training programs, and the generous support of donors like you. For $35 per month, you can sponsor a student and your entire gift will help provide recovery services to your student. By committing just $35 a month, you can help to change the life and future of a Teen Challenge student. To become a student sponsor, simply fill out a sign-up form or give us a call to start supporting a student at your local Adult and Teen Challenge campus today.
Yeah, so that's just like a quick overview of our student sponsorship program. I talked Bryce very hard into coming up here with me. he is currently in the student sponsorship program, one of the available students to sponsor, and I just wanted him to share how it's impacting his life at this current moment, just to kind of give you guys like a real-time update of a student sponsor. So, Bryce.
How's it going? Student sponsorship program is really cool. Before I even got in it, I remember when I first got in the program, I was kicking dope pretty hard in the garage and thought the lady was crazy at first. She comes up and wants to pray for me and was kind of seeking me out everywhere I'd go, you know, and the lifestyle I'm from, that's, you know, compassion for someone else that doesn't even know you is just insane for me. And really that motivated me to keep going because I just thought, you know, about the care she had for me when she didn't have to. And it made me want to be a better person. And about a month ago, I got my first letter from my sponsor. And it's just really cool because on days you feel like leaving, you know there's other people out there that care for you. So it's cool.
Thank you. I actually was a student in the student sponsorship when I went through the program 2 years ago, and I can attest to what Bryce is saying. I can say without a doubt I would not have made it through the program without student sponsorship. And it's not just about the little financial part that's attached to it. It's really more about the prayer and the letters, because the lady Cassie in the video shared that they seem to come at the exact right time. And I remember one specific instance. I got home from work, and I was like, finally had the courage. I was like, I'm leaving today. I'm out. And I get home. I get in my mailbox, and there's this letter, and it's from an entire family that was sponsoring me. Their kids had, like, drawn this thing and colored it. And they're like, oh, we've been praying for you. We can't wait to see you at your graduation, all this stuff. And I'm just like, gosh, dang it, now I'm stuck here, you know. And it's, you know, that's what it's all about. That extra prayer and those letters are really where it's at. It's super hard to go through this program. 12 months long, you bring in a lot of baggage. You're going through spiritual battles. It's very, very difficult. And this is a really easy, practical way for you guys to get connected if you feel led to do so. I just wanted to share one more thing. We have a ladies' brunch coming up. I didn't give them the picture to share, but I have all the information at our table over there. It's free admission. It's going to be a packed house. It's CLC, Christian Life Center in Bend. Bo Stern is going to be the speaker. There's going to be raffles, prizes, Bad Wolf Bakeries catering it. Again, there's no admission. There's going to be all kinds of prizes. One of them is like, have three of these dudes come out to your house and work for 8 hours on anything you want. So, I mean, who wouldn't want that, you know? You know how much work these guys get done in 3 hours? It's insane. So, all you ladies, get your friends, come out there. It's going to be a great time. And I have all the information. You can RSVP or just ask me more questions back there at the table. And thank you again for letting us come out here. We appreciate it very much. And God bless.
So we're glad to have you guys here. For me, I'm Pastor Jordan, if you don't know. I always usually say believe it or not, but that's how we roll here. When my dad was in his 20s, he was living in Hawaii on the beach, long hair down below his butt, strung out, walking down the road barefoot, shirt off, and an elderly woman driving down the road is prompted to pick him up. And you know, normally I don't think that's a great idea, picking up hitchhikers, elderly woman, but she felt led to do this. And she ends up driving him into this place and introducing him to a couple people there, and gets back in her car and bails and leaves him there. Well, that place was Teen Challenge, and my dad went into that place an unbeliever, a person who thought he had his own ideas figured out, a lot of Eastern mysticism and all these other things, but he was kind of wandering hopelessly. He had left home at 11 years old, living on the street, in and out of different situations. But when he went through that program, he came out someone who believed in Jesus, someone whose life was transformed by the power of the gospel. And so I'm a product. My sister's not here today, but we are a product of God's grace in that situation. And, you know, I wandered away from the faith for a lot of years, but the seeds were sown because of what God did in my dad's life. So I appreciate the ministry, and we just want to encourage you guys any ways that we can be praying for the people in this. The table that they have out there gives us more information on ways that we can be involved. It's a great thing, and it's awesome to see people who come in with broken lives and leave whole, you know. And we're all a work in progress. None of us really arrive cleaned up. We're all really broken when we think about it. I want to read from Ephesians chapter 2. And you were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now in work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And so that's the reality of anyone who professes faith or professes to know Jesus, is that we stand on grace alone. And so the playing field is leveled. We all come with nothing. Zero. We all come with brokenness, sin, baggage, demons in our closet, but God is enough, and His grace is enough to take us from death to life. And so thank you again for the testimonies that you guys shared. Thank you for coming. Thank you for helping work here on our building and all those things. I'm going to close in prayer, and if the worship guys want to come up, we'll wrap up. Lord, I just pray your blessing on this ministry, and I pray that you would just continue to provide all that they need to continue serving in this community. I pray that just more and more young people and people from all different backgrounds would be able to come in, and mainly that they would come to know you, because that's the bottom line. And so we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for the encouragement of hearing these testimonies, and we just pray your blessing on your people. In Jesus' name, amen.